for farming matters in the kingdom. Don't miss AgriTime, every Thursday at 7pm on Radio Kerry.
Well, you couldn't help but notice controversy with Cuailte and farm pay or forestry payments, I should say, hitting the media nationally over the last couple of weeks. It comes as Gerard Murphy this week has said, he's the managing director of forestry at Cuailte, has stated that it's now reviewed the issues with a small number of farm partnerships, and he stated that Cuailte had not withheld any payments to farmers in line with its contractual obligations, but he did admit that there was confusion among some farm partners regarding the timing of payments, which have led to the current difficulties, and it was due to a lack of clear communication. Well, all of this controversy can never be good for any sector of agriculture. And a little bit earlier on, I caught up with sales manager with Vion, Joe Codd, to discuss it.
Vion are a private harvesting company or a private forestry company. We've offices nationwide. The nearest one for Kerry will be Castle Island Mart. And in there, we've two foresters based, Daniel O'Connell and Chris Byrne. And there'll be about 30 contractors probably working out of Kerry as well from that base. So we provide forest owners, farmers, estate owners, investors, forestry services such as planting, road building, harvesting, either tinning or clear fell, management services, or helping forest owners to buy or sell land for forestry. So all those services start to finish.
Okay, so how are things going since you set up the Castle Island office?
Yeah, busy. It was a great move. Look, we had to kind of set up an office because we were getting so much business down there. It just made sense. And the two guys have a good base and to meet contractors and meet farmers. It's just beside the mart in Castle Island, so it's very handy for our clients and our farmers to actually just meet us there. They can do it on the same day as they're bringing cattle or sheep or whatever it is to the sales. So it just makes sense for us, you know.
Okay, and look, I mean, Joe, you would have been very much aware of when the Cuailte story broke. You know, it obviously caused massive ructions throughout the forestry sector. You know, I mean, there was obviously a huge reaction. Even the forestry minister, Andrew Doyle, has challenged Cuailte now to undo the damage done to the confidence of farmers and other potential tree growers. I suppose in Vion, were ye approached by anybody affected? Were ye aware of it, or what were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, of course. Look, the first thing I want to kind of say about that issue was, it is important to note for forest owners out there that it's nothing to do with the normal afforestation scheme, of which the vast majority of forest owners have taken up. There's 20,000 forest owners in Ireland. The farm partnership with Cuailte that have signed up, there's 630 people or farm partnerships out there, okay, out of the 20,000 forest owners. So people kind of think they were, you know, that their payments were coming from Cuailte. When they think forestry, they might think Cuailte, but it's actually the Department of Agriculture who pay the normal forest premiums. So it was after that, where people signed up to the Cuailte contract, that they've had issues. It's mostly down to communication. That's what the problem for Cuailte was. They have employed KPMG since then, and they're employed to help getting the information to the forest owner. So I think that was the biggest key, that the communication, that forest owners who had signed up to the Cuailte contracts, they just didn't know what was going on. They weren't getting good feedback, or they didn't know what was happening with their forest. So I'm hoping now in the next couple of weeks that will improve itself once KPMG and they have now Cuailte have kind of stepped up to the mark and put in place kind of good communication lines. But we did receive phone calls from forest owners, mostly out of confusion, because they just didn't know, is it going to affect me? Is this going to affect me? Am I one of those people? So once we kind of explained it to them, they were happy. But look, anything negative, it does impact on the forestry sector. But it's about just getting the correct information out there and letting people know what's going on, you know.
Yeah, and Joe, look, I mean, people, when they sign up to forestry, this is a very long-term investment. It's a long-term commitment for your land and for your holding. You know, so as you said, any sort of negativity around that, you know, for somebody who might be considering getting into forestry or making that investment, you know, that can maybe colour their view in the future.
It can. Look, at bad news always travels fast. The thing, like I say, it's about education and about communication. So once they kind of realise what they're getting themselves into, in Kerry, over the last 2 years, there was about 2,500 acres planted per year, okay? Now, that has dropped. Now, it's for different reasons. You know, it was a lot higher than that every year. There are more and more restrictions that are in place, things like hen harrier zones, fresh pearl mussels, and that reduces the amount of land that's available to plant. You know, so there's also, you know, the new land classification scheme came out that removed a lot of land that was eligible for farmers to plant because it was just deemed not productive enough. But look, we have people ringing us, we have people calling into our office in Castle Island the whole time, and farmers, you know, it's getting tough out there. I'm from a farming background. The foresters down in Castle Island, they're from farming backgrounds, and look, at farmers don't mind hard work, but at the moment, hard work just not, it's just not paying off, you know. So forestry, we find people coming into us, it's giving them another option for them to you know, to farm trees, to make a living from a different type. Not all, you don't have to change at all, but there are certain parts of their farm that might just say, look, at I can earn €210 an acre from conifers and up to €275 an acre for broadleaves, income tax free plus my single farm payment. You know, there's not many farming enterprises out there that, you know, with zero capital investment, you know, you all the trees are supplied, the drainage, fencing, that's all covered by grants, and you get that payment every year. It is a big decision, and it's a permanent land change for the farmer or the landowner, and it's an emotional decision. You know, for a man or woman to have worked that land all their life, but they must look at trees as a crop, I suppose. The thing to look at is, I suppose, they're farming trees instead of animals or crops. So there's a science to it, there's a skill to it, and it's just about changing your skill sets for farmers to decide, you know. It's just kind of, we need to get into our kind of psyche that forestry and trees, you're growing a crop. It's something that you put in the ground and you have to look after it. The more you look after it, the more it'll give back to you. It's like a cat, it's like a cow, it's like sheep, it's like a crop of whatever you're planted. So it's just kind of, we have to retrain the brain that it's a tree is a crop, and if you look after it and plant it, it's you're farming that ground the very same.
And interesting, you were talking about, you know, I suppose, red tape kind of issues. You mentioned the hen harrier there, the freshwater pearl mussel. Obviously, protecting the environment and habitats is very important. But is that sometimes in conflict with the forestry sector?
It is and it isn't. Like, I mean, look, we're heavily scrutinised by, you know, exact everything we do. We have Forest Service inspectors, we have the Department of Agriculture. We have to do things by certain rules. But, you know, there's certain things that just kind of where we clash. Look, at one of the biggest issues we have is the hen harrier. And if you look at timber, for example, in Kerry, just take Kerry for an example, because, again, it comes back to your listeners. The groundwork has gone in Kerry for what's been done over the last 20 years. All the planting has been, a lot of it's been done. So 75% of timber production in Kerry over the next 20 years is going to come from private farmer-owned forests, right? So not Quilchard, right? 75% of the timber. So this year, for example, there's going to be, I think, 50,000 metres cubed of timber harvested in Kerry alone. By 2025, that's going to increase by five times. There's going to be 250,000 metres cubed of timber being harvested in Kerry in 5 years' time. So this means a lot more work. There's a lot more employment that's going to be needed in Kerry. Sawmills are going to have to employ, haulage companies, harvesting contractors, foresters. That's all going to have to increase. It also means then that there's going to be more income coming into the local economy, because the farmers and the forest owners are going to get this income from the timber. So, but there's always things we can do better in every region, you know. But one of the simple things is the hen harrier, for example. It's just for harvesting, and especially for building roads, there's restrictions there in place. So if you're inside a red zone hen harrier area, between April and August, we can't harvest. Now, your listeners will know that the easiest time to farm land and manage land is during those summer months. It's the driest, it's the easiest, and there's less problems. But we are restricted. We can do no harvesting, no haulage during those months. So we're then the forest owners, and we are then, on the back of that, forced to try and do forestry activities during wetter months. Now, that's not good. We're trying to protect the environment, and we're trying to prevent soil erosion. But you know, these things don't help us, so we need to try and work together better with different agencies to try and to work together on those type of things.
And you were saying, obviously, all of that has impacted on, you know, the planting of forestry in this county. I suppose looking to the future, Joe, is there a way around that to boost forestry numbers here in the county?
There is, and look, it comes down to a few things. It's coming down to farming, whether it's really working and people can stay at it, whether farmers' sons want to hang around and do that type of activity themselves as well, or have they gone off the farm to get a kind of a job themselves and are part-time farming. And that's where I see forestry kind of being very relevant. And, you know, we see figures from the department of non-farmers and farmers, but a lot of the time non-farmers are actual, you know, farmers' sons that have just gone off, got an education and something and have a job, but don't want, you know, they still have that holding, they have that love for the farm and the land, but just haven't got the time to put into it. So they instead, they make, you know, a nice income coming, and it's income tax free coming from the forestry, but they don't have to sell it. They hold it and they're still farming it in there, but it doesn't take up as much as their time. So that's a massive thing that I see in the future coming on. As farmers get older, handing down land and farms to generations to come, the new younger farmers might not always want to stay at home and farm it. So it gives them a good option. So that's a big kind of, I think, that's going to happen over the next few years. I can see that increase in forestry in Kerry, you know.
Mm. And finally, Joe, I suppose, look, you know, we all have to be aware. We spoke about the environment there with the hen harrier, but obviously, you know, with the renegotiation of CAP, the environmental lobby and pillar is going to be a huge impact on the shape of the new CAP. So our carbon emissions as a country, obviously, we all know, you know, that trees are good for the environment. So obviously, forestry could have a role to play in that.
It is. I've discussed it with different people in different agencies. You know, one thing, it could be if you're, you know, a dairy farmer with 300 cattle and you're producing that type of milk and that amount of milk, that a simple offload could be that, you know, and most farms, and it's not just dairy, most farms, you know, that will have 5 or 10 acres that's in the corner, out the bottom, down by the river, that's not productive, quite wet, needs to be drained every 10 years. It's those type of things, and this can come into the CAP maybe reform, that if you produce a certain amount of, you know, if you have a certain amount of cows or if you have a certain amount of sheep, that you have a certain amount of forestry. It could be one option that you have a certain amount of forestry on your farm, and that will offset the carbon emissions maybe that you're going to do, and you become self-sufficient and sustainable in that, in the way you're producing carbon, but then also subsequently as well in the forest. So it's, there's different options that could go out there, but I do see forestry as a major player in future negotiations coming from CAP, and hopefully, like, there's not too many restrictions, and they make it possible that it can work, it's workable. So it's about being practical as well, as not just it works on paper, it has to work for the farmer on the ground as well.
Okay, well, Joe Codd, Director of Sales with Vion Limited, and Vion, of course, have an office outside in the Castle Island Mart, and you can get more information there if you want to discuss your options for your farm. And Joe, thanks very much for joining us.
Ashling, thank you very much.
Quick reminder of our competition before we take the break. We're giving away some Volac goodies. 2 bags of Volac Golden Maverick Milk Replacer, Volac Asgold Calf Electrolyte, and a Volac Soft Shell Jacket to keep you warm while you're calving this springtime. There's going to be 2 winners tonight, so here's how you enter. Call 1515 415 903. Leave your name and contact details, or you can text Kerry and your answer, or excuse me, and your contact details, I should say, to 57003. That's Kerry and your name and contact details to 57003. Calls will cost €1.02. Texts will cost you €1 each. Time for that break.
AgriTime on Radio Kerry with Aisling O'Brien. Brought to you in association with Kerry Group.